Welcome to Advanced Automation, a podcast by Calvary Robotics, where you'll find industry leaders and experts sharing their thoughts on the world of automation.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening. I'm Josh Gravel, your host for this installment of Advanced Automation. Today, we have with us Jacob Sanchez. He's the Industry Solutions and Community Development for IGIS. Thanks for being with us today, Jacob.
I'm excited, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I'm assuming most people, if they're in the industry, they've seen your face. They know what you do. But give us a little overview of your history, you know, maybe schooling and past.
Yeah. I've been in the industry for 10 years now. So 6 years in five-axis CNC machining, programming, and then 4 years in the automation world now. Born and raised back in Cali, lived there for 21 years. And this industry was never a possibility for me. The only reason I even got into this industry was when I moved to a new high school and I was trying to sign up for all the easy classes as freshmen do. And I tried to sign up for cooking class and it was full and they throw you into whatever's open after that. So I got thrown into the engineering program
and I was
furious. I couldn't even draw straight lines in school. I hated art. I hated math. I was like a C kid and they had me building paper airplanes for the first week in class and building marble mazes out of construction paper and all that. And I was like, this is my heck. I am being punished. But I ended up falling in love with it after I saw the machine shop and I saw the manual lathes, the manual mills. I made my first ring on a machine. I would stay after class and have the teacher teach me because I didn't like going home. And that started the rest of my career. The rest of my career to where I am now happened because I did not get into cooking class.
That's amazing. Well, there you go, kids. You never know where you're going to land. Don't be sad just because you didn't get in the cooking class.
Yeah, and if you're a hooligan, there's still hope for you. I was to give you, so we don't jump into all of my stories, just to give you a baseline of how I was in school my entire life. When I was in kindergarten, I apparently one day took over the playset, I was told, and I was charging kids in bark to use the slide. And in my defense, the bark was everywhere. The bark made up the playground. And yeah. I was charging kids to use the slide. And this one kid didn't want to pay in bark. And so apparently I pushed him off of the playset. And then when the teacher got me in trouble with like, yeah, don't do that. Apparently I told her she was fired.
You're a young entrepreneur right from the jump.
So that's the baseline of my education career. So yeah, engineering, CNC machining, robotics, that was all but a dream to me.
That's crazy. So take us up to today, where we are now with your career.
Now 3 months into a new job with IGIS. As you already said, my title and role there, I also do a lot with our RBTX division. That's our low cost automation line and basically thinks automation solutions. That's what we do there.
We'll get into it in just a bit.
Yep. And I am loving it. I'm loving that. I did a lot of trade show hosting before I jumped into this gig. I was an application engineer for a custom automation integrator. I will not name names.
All right.
That's where I got my start in automation. And then I started my LinkedIn channel. I started doing videos, teaching people, showing off people in our industry, telling their stories, talking about equipment solutions. And all of this spiraled into like my content creator career, where now I have my own YouTube show. I'm a public speaker at a lot of trade shows in high schools and colleges. I've hosted some of my own shows before I got this job with IGIS. I was the host of the NPE show for 80,000 people. So I had my own TV show that entire week. I love where I am now in the industry, man. It's so much fun.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you, and that's such an impressive resume you have. Could you tell us now a bit more about IGIS for anybody who doesn't know and just needs to
refer? Yes, so when you hear IGIS and you see that trademark orange, think anything that moves. We improve anything that moves with motion plastics. meaning we're a plastics component manufacturer. We do all of that in-house ourselves, all of our products we make in Germany. We have a 2 million square foot facility in Germany. But as of, what's today's date? 5 days ago, we now do manufacturing here in the United States. We just unveiled an injection molding facility here in Rhode Island. That's where our headquarters is for America. Okay. Overall, 250 to 300,000 square feet total of space for assembly, for injection molding, everything. 50 machines are up and operational, 150 there's room for. And we have 32 headquarters around the world, in countries all over the world. And yeah, we improve anything that moves. If you see that black, we call it E-chain, but if you see the black cable management that's on your machines that keeps your cables nice and tight and not destroyed, keeps them from destroying themselves, that's us. We do heavy duty bearings. We do linear actuators. What we're going to be talking about more of today is our low cost automation line. I think we have like 18 business units in total.
Wow.
We are the company for anything plastics components, and we do a lot for the environment too. We're going carbon neutral by 2030. We started a bike company just for fun. So
that's cool.
we have a plastic bike company that's made up of 50% recycled ocean plastics and fishing line, just because we were like, man, this sucks. This is all in the environment. Let's get it out of there. And it's doing great. It started its own business unit at IGIS, where now we do a bunch with bike companies and supplying them with equipment and things.
Oh man, I love that. That's so cool. when was the company founded? Do you?
Oh man, you are, I feel like I'm back in my first 2 weeks of training.
it's put you in the hot seat.
Plus or minus 1 year. 1963. It was founded plus or minus 1 year. I'm a machinist. I can throw a tolerance on there.
I love it.
It was founded in Germany by Gunter Blaise, and he went around to all of these companies and went up to the door and said to them, give me your toughest challenge and I will find a solution. And he said that and said that until an automotive company did give him their toughest challenge, and he developed our IGIS's first product, his first product, which was a bearing or bushing. And that started the entire company. And then his son, I believe Gunter also came to America. He went to Texas. I want to say Texas A&M or one of the big universities in Texas, loved it there, and eventually found the East Coast in Providence, because people that he was getting in business with said, oh, it's close to the harbors, close to the ports, you're gonna do great business here. He moved here and moved a bunch of product here in this building that I'm actually in now. And that was the start of IGIS America. So crazy, crazy company story.
Yeah, that is really cool. And I thank you for sharing that. Working with IGIS, what are your customers? Are they the system integrators, end users, and how do they work with you?
Jesus, pick a business unit, I guess, because we are literally in everything. I like to
That's
go around ever since I've joined IGIS. I go around and I tell people, IGIS knows your industry because we're in your industry. Whether you see us or not, we are in your industry. And what I mean by that is we're the components inside of the assembly equipment. We're in the OEMs, we're in the MROs, we're in the system integrators, because we're your guys. I bet you walk out to that Calvary floor right now, and if you look for black cable management, it's going to be IGIS. And if it's not, I can stop by next week. what I mean by that is we have all these different business units because we want to be able to serve different industries. So we're in clean rooms, we're in the ports. So literally the cranes that lift the giant cargo off of the ships, we're the cables, because we also make our own cables from scratch. We're the cables that are in that, and we're in the protective harnessing that's in that. We're in the heavy duty industries. So John Deere, Caterpillar, think scissor lifts, all types of cherry pickers. We're in the medical and lab room industry because we have lots of clean room products. We're even in some mining and high temperature areas as well. And these are all plastics. Keep in mind, these are plastic things. Usually people think, oh, like a water bottle. No, these things are going in the earth in mining equipment at 300 degrees. So those are just some of the industries and sectors that we serve. It's really cool.
Nice. Well, do you have maybe a use case or a sort of a case study of sorts? One of the ones that kind of like wowed you or one of your favorites?
So we have these PRT rings or slewing rings, and apparently we are in the equipment. You know, when they have to de-ice planes and they spray it down, well, that thing can move in a 360 fashion. That rotating pivot, that circular pivot, we're that. We make really? That giant thing.
That's cool.
So basically anything that pivots, rotates, that's us. That was a really cool one that I thought was interesting. I mean, honestly, I thought the excavator thing was really interesting. So where the bushings that are on the sides of those, I went through a virtual reality experiment where I had to lube 28 or 35 grease points on a John Deere tractor. And it was to show you how much work goes into lubricating these things when you don't have our products in it. So that, like, that experience just gave me a big wow factor when it comes to where our products are, the things that we save people from doing. I was like, dang. And then now with this low cost automation stuff, we're in, can I say these names? I think of the company names I can say. We are in some very high profile companies that I maybe don't feel comfortable saying. But we are also in a company that breeds worms, and he loves our gantries that he uses to pick his worms to move them to different breeding pens. So think when you buy that little thing of dirt at the fishing shop, that's his company. So that was another thing that blew my mind, and I've been in automation for 4 years.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect answer. I love it. I want to take us now to our main discussion that you talked about, kind of your bread and butter, right? I guess is the low cost automation and robotics. Mm-hmm. Can you just give us a nice boilerplate? What does that even mean? Does affect everybody, right? But how does it translate?
And it's an odd concept. You haven't heard the word low cost automation. You've heard people say our robots are cheap. Our robots do this and that, but nobody has used the words low cost before. The reason that the low cost automation division of IGIS started because we have these products like IUBall, we have linear actuators, we do gears, we make our own motors, things like that. We assembled all of that to make our own gantry robot, Delta robot, and six axis articulation robot arm. That's the reason we're able to keep it so cheap, is because we're using our own products from our own company to make these things. And we're not trying to go make the perfect robot out there. If you're asking me for the perfect robot out there, there's already some names I can name. You got Fanuc out there. You got my friends at Kuka out there. You got Dubot out there. Those are robot companies.
Yeah.
What we're doing is, with low cost automation, basically, I want everybody to understand, if you don't get started in automation, you can't grow with automation. If I have to sum up low cost automation in that sentence, if you don't get started, you can't grow. That's why we do what we do with RBTX and low cost automation.
That's great. And I know that a pretty overarching theme for automation, when somebody, especially new to automation, comes to someone like, you know, comes to Calvary, even, I guess, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we want to do this. And you're like, hold on. Let's almost take the simplest, or let's look at it smaller. And then, like you're saying, grow, because you can't take it all on at once, especially if you're starting with really no experience.
Yeah. And even just understanding, like, as a customer, put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
It's hard and tricky to find good integrators. It's hard and tricky to even understand how to automate your process in general. I've gotten into a lot of businesses when I was an application engineer and you have to be careful of this as an integrator, you have to be careful of when you're going into businesses that don't really understand their process. You can't quote a process you don't understand. And you'll get to this point as an integrator where you are helping them figure out and dictate their assembly or manufacturing line. but that puts a lot of liability on you. So even just helping customers understand how to understand their process, I know it sounds weird, but you need to do that for these companies that are getting started with low cost automation, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They kind of get excited, the glitz and glamour of automation and robotics.
They see a robot arm moving around.
Yeah. It's so cool. And you're like, I want that. You're like, okay, well, let's look at your process and see what we can improve. And then you also, you know, budget everything and what's your return on investment, all the good stuff. Yep. But it is starting slow. So what are the kind of the best then use cases or applications for the low cost automation solution?
I think one of the things that we do really well, so we have our website, rbtx.com. Not only does it have the products from our partners, but there's literally 500 solutions on there, with 95% of them. Am I going to get this wrong? 95% of them, as I'm looking around the room for the number, 95% of them are $18,000 or under. And that's a complete sell. That's with the strut framing, that's with the robot, that's with the gripper, that's if there's any vision, whatever the solution is. And you can go on our website right now and literally watch videos and read people's sales doing their job. So basically there's 500 videos on there where you can just go learn and explore and better understand automation in different sectors. You can filter it by sector in general. Another big thing about low-cost automation in the RBTX line is the fact that on that website too, all the products we have on there, we don't let you buy anything that doesn't work together. Meaning if you put a certain type of robot in your cart, because everything you can buy like Amazon, you never have to talk to an engineer, one of our engineers, if you don't want to. We very much recommend that you do, because you can literally hit a button called... Yeah. RBT expert call, and you can be on the phone with somebody in 30 minutes if their calendar is available. But if you just want to buy stuff, you can do that. But we don't let you put a certain type of robot in your cart, and then let's say an end of arm tool or a gripper, for example, that doesn't have the right bolt pattern. We literally will gray it out, so we won't let you buy it. So there's some of those little nice features that I think are really good for first timers, and not even first timers to the industry, just people getting their foot started or putting that first step forward in automation. And you'd be surprised, there's a lot of big companies out there, like furniture companies, for example, that can have one factory that's outfitted beautifully with automation, and then the factory two states away has no idea where to start. So don't think size has anything to do with who is best fit for low cost automation, you know?
Yeah. So then when they hit purchase on that cart, is it then on the customer to implement all of this? Would they get an integrator? Would they have IGIS? All of that? What's the answer to that?
So three different possible answers, depending on the type of person. Somebody that's doing that where they're just hidden by, they know what they want, they've read their information, maybe they talk to one of our experts, and they just want to buy it and start playing. Because you can literally, Josh, can download our robot software right now and start programming simulation robots to understand how to program robotics. So when your robot comes in, you already know. And you can do that if you never buy from us. The software is free. Everybody in the world can take a seat if they want. We don't care.
No, that's awesome.
So it could be one of those people where they've done their research. They just want to buy and start playing themselves. Cool. Mm-hmm. Do that. Or somebody bought and maybe you didn't get to talk to an expert yet. We see that internally. So we reach out to you. Hey, we saw you purchase this. Are you sure you're okay? Do you need anything? Here's some videos for when you unbox your Rebel, because we have unboxing videos. So we send educational information. Or before they hit that purchase button, when it comes to bringing in an integrator, we have our own, I don't know what's called, the round table of integrators that we're building out here, where they are specific experts in their niche, and we get them involved with your process so you don't have to go try to vet out integrators and stuff. So we work hand in hand with integrators right now.
Awesome. Industry-wise, you kind of started touching, like, say, furniture, but, like, what is this, any industry?
Yeah, I mean, furniture is one we're in right now. I'm doing a big education run at the end of the month, so I'm going to, and we're already in some colleges as well. One of them's in Ohio called AWT, but we're in education labs, so actual process labs at colleges. I already said furniture. We are in some automotive plants that are basically have us in their R&D lab. I'm trying to think of one big one that just went through the other day. I also try not to say names just because I don't check with people before I say their names, so I don't want to upset anybody.
I get it.
We're also in clean rooms because okay. We have lab coats for our robots and stuff. Very low noise and things like that as well. We're not in the – I'll tell you where we're not if that helps anybody. We're sure. not in the world of plus or minus like 10 microns when it comes to our six-axis robot arm. We're not in the world of 50-kilogram payloads, at least with our robots. We have robots that we distribute that we can help find a solution for. But if you're talking about low-cost automation specifically, yeah, we're not in that 50-kilogram range. We're not in the – let's say you need a reach of like 300 millimeters or something. We're not in that. Fabrication, our robots are made of plastic components and things. So if you're going to put it in a welding cell, yeah, let me get you a different robot.
Sure. That's what I was going to ask is what not to use. So those are
some good examples. Oh, yeah. 100% will tell you when not to use this stuff. Because again, this isn't something we say we want you to keep for the next 10 years. We want you to get started with our low-cost automation line so you can grow with automation. Because when you grow with automation, you're still going to go to IGIS for all of your other components anyways. So we'll still get to work with you. We'll still get to help you. That's how we see it. Yeah, so I am more than open telling you where not to put this robot.
Yeah, so you're working with the customers is what you want, and you want them to get their foot in the door, get automation in their plant and their facility, and then grow from there. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I love that. What are the technologies involved? Is this hardware, software, industry 4.0 kind of stuff? What?
One of the cool things about the Rebels and with the low cost automation line too is that it's actually open source as well. So if you didn't want to use our IRC, which is our industrial robot control software, you can buy an open source Rebel and communicate with it however the heck you want. And that's a really big thing for education or for R&D labs that want to be able to, maybe they're testing out their own code or developing their own language and things and they want to test it on products. Perfect example. When it comes to Industry 4.0, we're also getting into the AMR space with low-cost automation. And again, that's something that hasn't really been touched from an AMR perspective. Trying to think of what else we do on the industrial 4.0 sector. Oh, we do have, this is a little bit outside of low-cost automation, but we also have the IGUverse that we develop digital universes for our customers. We have a really nice one with DMG Mori. It's a CNC machine company, OEM, and they literally bring their customers in there, and it's this giant virtual space where you have a DMG machine running, and you can put the customer's products in there. You can see where the IGUS components are and stuff. So that's what we do on the Industry 4.0 space. We also have our own machine learning app called IGUS Go, where you can scan products in your facility or things out in the world. And you're like, man, I wonder if their stuff is in here. You can scan it and the app will tell you what products are inside of it. So those are some of the more techie sides of us.
That sounds fun.
I love the IGUS Go app. It's really nice going, sending it to a customer, being like, hey, scan your thing and let me know if our stuff's in there. And it's just cool, man.
I have to try it out. So I wanted to ask where, I should ask at the top of this part of the low cost automation, but what spurred this? What was the, beginning point for this?
It was really that it really started with IGUS and those components that I mentioned earlier, where we have the linear actuators, we have IGUball, we have our own gears, our motors. We literally wanted to just start helping people get started with automation. So we assembled all of these things together in our testing lab in Germany. We have roughly 80,000 square feet of a testing lab in Germany where 24/7, well, I guess 363 days a year, 360 days a year, and maybe like 25/6. We are testing every single one of our products, whether it's a new chemical makeup, because we do all of our own material science for our bearings, our bushings, our polymers, all that stuff we make ourselves. Any new product we come out with, we rigorously test, and we started assembling robots until we found ones that worked. We have the first version was actually called a RoboLink that we still sell, and that's more of an industrial style robot. And that's what spurred this whole RBTX division, was wanting to help customers actually solve automation problems instead of just provide them with equipment. Because you can provide people with equipment all day long to go into their things, but how are they going to assemble those things? You know what I mean? And that's what we weren't helping them with. So that's why we started RBTX and low-cost automation.
That's great. What's next? What do you see happening? What's on the horizon for IGIS?
Big thing that I'm working on, and the reason I got, one of the reasons I got brought on, big education push from us, and then also a big community push from us. So I'm actually in the process of developing our own community, let's say online community for industrial automation and manufacturing professionals and newbies. So this is a place I've been working on the past 3 months. I'm reaching out to beta testers, final wave of beta testers from the industry this month, who will vet it out for the next 2 months, and we'll be releasing it in January. And this is going to be a place not only for you to network and connect with people, not only to help solve other people's problems and help solve your problems and ask questions and just learn, but it's also going to be a place where you can go in there at 7 p.m. at night while you're home on a Sunday and see who's traveling, see who's like playing like your favorite video game. You know what I mean? Like, I want this to be a true community where it's not just about work, 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 market, market, sell, sell. I want this to be a place where we're all growing personally, professionally, and helping each other. That's why we're going to have some fun things like that. It's called RAM. It stands for Robotics and Automation Marketplace, because RBTX is a automation and robotics marketplace. And I'm beyond excited for that. That's probably the biggest thing that's on my plate. IGIS itself has lots of other big initiatives next year, but that's one I'm really excited about.
Awesome. I look forward to that. And then, is there anything you want to say that we maybe left out as we kind of close things out today?
A big thing that we're seeing here at IGIS and that we're pushing to improve upon out in the industry is how we work with each other. Go on Google Maps one day during lunch or something and zoom out a little bit and look at all of the automation and manufacturing businesses that are in your area. And I'm talking down the block, and think to yourself, do I know them? Am I connected with them? How do I talk with them? We're taking a bigger commitment on being there for our customers, being readily available for our customers, and reaching out to just new partners in our industry and in our community. Like, that's just a big thing that we're seeing people ask for, or people not know that they even need, is more of that community outreach, more of that networking to build each other's businesses, not just my business or your business, you know? I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but that's something we've been seeing a lot in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, it raises all ships, right? The water rising, right?
Yep.
Sort of thing.
Yep.
That's a great, great idea. I like that. And then how do we connect, stay up to date with not just IGIS, but yourself?
I mean, you got Jacob Sanchez at LinkedIn. You got Jacob Makes on TikTok. But we did just drop our RBTX LinkedIn page. And so that's going to have all of our community developments, all of our company developments, and then you have the standard, I guess, LinkedIn's, Instagrams, all that good stuff. But the RBTX one, that is brand new. We're already off to a good start, almost to 100 followers this week, and we just started this week, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so that's going to be a fun one.
Awesome. Well, I want to say thank you so much, Jacob. It was such a pleasure to talk with you. I feel like I could keep going and going. Maybe another time have you back on and talk some more exciting stuff going on. Oh, you got more?
One thing that I always do at the end of like a podcast or a speech I give and stuff, I always do a mental health thing. These are like Easter eggs for anybody that stays till the last episode. I do not talk about these. I don't like tell people I do these unless it's at the end of the podcast. So whoever finds it, finds it. I've actually had really good stories from people finding it, but I'm trying to think. I don't pre-plan them, so I just let them happen in the moment. Let me ramble as my brain figures one out. Something I want everybody to understand that I've really been harping on a lot this year is you don't have to make a big move to do something impactful. Not everything you do, not everybody that you affect is going to change the world. It's not always going to hit thousands of people. Sometimes just doing one thing is enough, and doing something for someone should be enough for you. Not everything has to be this big, grand adventure.
It's very true. The littlest things can, make somebody's day, right?
So that is it. That was my last thing. You take it from here, Josh.
Well, thanks again. I really appreciate it. And I thank all the listeners for taking the time to listen to Advanced Automation. You can head over to CalvaryRobotics.com to listen to other episodes, watch Calvary TV. You can check out our blog and other great content on our resources tab. Have a great day.